What a wonderful week this is. I'm coming to see this is one of my favorite weeks in the whole Christian year, our liturgical calendar. But it's this year, this week, has been a particular epiphany for me. The week began, of course, on Rogation Sunday. We began in worship with an outdoor procession. There's a sense, though, that the Rogation procession comes to completion not on Rogation Sunday when we come here and you're seated in the pews, but it's complete today when we hear the Ascension story, when the Paschal candle is extinguished, when we celebrate our Lord's Ascension and His risen body to the Father's right hand. But it's in the journey, not only in the destination of that procession begun last Sunday, that I witnessed an epiphany of our Lord's Ascension. We began in a humble garden, blessing plants, seeds, garden beds, then gardeners and farmers who tend the land. And all of this with holy water and chanted prayers at every station along our procession. Now, y'all know, if you've come to Apostles, y'all know how much I love asperging you all with holy water, especially in Eastertide. But this year I glimpsed the gospel of our Lord's Ascension in greater fullness. St. Paul, we just heard it moments ago, said that because of Christ's ascension, the Father has made Christ head over the church, His body, and the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Now, I wasn't thinking of St. Paul's words when I cast holy water along the first steps of our procession. But my eyes and my heart opened anew as we walked beneath the trees in our back field. Because when I saw some drops of holy water land on the leaves of a maple tree, it struck me deep in the heart that this is the full purpose of a maple tree. It is to praise Christ who is risen. And the tree can't do it by itself. But the priest of the church can. His royal priesthood. Ascend to your highest purpose. Glorify the Lord. Praise Him and highly exalt Him forever. And then next I saw holy water land on the leaves of a dogwood tree. That tree we East Tennesseans love probably best of all. And then my heart rose up, desiring that every time that we East Tennessee Christians see a dogwood tree, that we would see not only a sign of our Lord's beauty, but that we would see, as many of us were taught as kids in East Tennessee, a sign in the dogwood of His passion and His death. A sign of our redemption. Ascend to your highest purpose, dogwood tree. Praise Christ, your Creator, who died to redeem His corrupted sons and daughters and His fallen creation. Praise Him and highly exalt Him forever. And then entering the doors of this church, then this nave, I saw holy water land first on the doors of this holy place, then on you, His saints, His royal priesthood. Then this altar railing where we receive the most precious and holy sacrament of our Lord's body and blood. And I thought as the procession ended, this is what it means to be church. This is God's will. This is what it means to be human. To bear the image of God in His world. It means to be processing as His church through creation, as His royal priest, praising Him, blessing Him, blessing His creation. Praying over this place, this ground, this city. This is what God desires. This is His original desire for us and for His world. Remember, God commissioned Adam and Eve. From the beginning, fill the earth, subdue it, which meant this whole world is destined to be a temple of the glory of God, every square inch of it. And He gave to them the task, their task, go beyond Eden, make everything in this world, as St. Maximus the Confessor said, make it into a cosmic liturgy, everything in the world a liturgy, to praise the holy name of its Creator. That was the original mission. As the saints have said, make this world, all of it, into a church that worships its Lord and Creator. And that was their task as royal priests, to consecrate, to bless, to sanctify created things, so that all created things that they ascend, that all things become sacramental. In other words, that we see all things as a means of grace and as a means to ascend and worship and glorify Jesus Christ, who is the fullness of Him who fills all in all. But instead of expanding God's kingdom to the world beyond Eden and to every square inch of this world, Adam and Eve, they brought instead the terminal disease of sin and death into God's world. Now exiled from Eden, they, with their sons and daughters, their descendants, they filled the world, not though with God's glory, but filled it with idols. And idols, we know from St. Paul and others in Scripture, they're never benign. They become bearers of evil spirits, of the demonic. And thanks be to God, in the fullness of time, Jesus Christ, the second Adam, was born of a virgin. Jesus became incarnate to sanctify our bodies. Jesus became incarnate to become our prophet, to become our great high priest, our king. You look at his life, you look at his ministry. It was one long exorcism. Always casting out the power, the stronghold, the grip of the demonic in God's good world. Healing masses of people held captive by the devil. With every exorcism, every healing, Jesus was showing not only the mighty deeds that prophets did of old, but he was doing the work of a priest. He was reconciling men and women to God and to their original vocation. But no greater exorcism did our Lord Jesus perform as our great high priest than when he was lifted high on the cross. For that is when he cast out the ruler of this world, who doesn't belong in God's good world. And today, the 40th day after his resurrection, we celebrate not only that our high priest offered his body to redeem our sins on Good Friday, but our great high priest is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. In his nativity, he hallowed this body of flesh. In his ascension, he was exalted in the flesh, but in his crucified and risen flesh, to be our great high priest forever. He entered the throne room of heaven in his body. He entered the Holy of Holies beyond this creation. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, far beyond all the powers of this world, far beyond all rule and authority and power and dominion, the things that we see. He is far beyond every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And here's the great mystery. The ascension of Jesus did not bring the end of history. And this is what the disciples expected to happen. Lord, you're going to bring the kingdom of Israel to fullness today, right? And he says, not for you to know the times and seasons. And instead, he says, you'll be my witnesses. He's enthroned today, but the end is yet to come. Christ has ascended. He is reigning, and yet he rules and he reigns, as Psalm 110 said, and as we chanted, he rules and reigns in the midst of his enemies in a world still filled with idols. And somehow in this great mystery of Christ's ascension and his long-awaited return, he's left an opening. An opening for us to continue and do his work. An opening for us to work that his will be done on earth, in all nations, as it is in heaven where he rules and reigns even now. Jesus Christ is our great high priest enthroned in heaven with saints and angels, and yet he still has a royal priesthood on earth. The priesthood of the baptized. A royal priesthood who live and work in a world still filled with idols, who marry, who were given in marriage, who raise families, who raise children, who go to their jobs every day in a world groaning for redemption from its old corruption. Yes, our great high priest enthroned and reigning, he is determined to have a royal priesthood who continue his work. God did not discard that commission, that vision from Eden. That Adam and Eve, their sons and daughters, that they would expand his kingdom rule to all nations, to every square inch of creation. No, he didn't abandon it. He redeemed that vision when he was crucified and when he was risen. And so on this day, when he ascends into heaven as our great high priest, note well, beloved of God, when he ascends, he commissions. He commissions his apostles to do what Adam and Eve failed to do. Expand God's kingdom rule into all lands. We proclaim his gospel wherever we go. We do it with words. We do it in prayers. We do it in our acts of repentance. We do it in our actions. We expand his kingdom by baptizing every action and every interaction in Jesus' great commandment of love. To love God above all and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And so today we not only commemorate the Lord's ascension, we commemorate the great reset of God's global commission given to us. Our Lord's ascension to the heavens and our commission to the nations, they go hand in hand. They cannot be separated. Just like great high priest and his royal holy priesthood, his church, belong together. Go make the world into a church. Make disciples of all nations. That's our task, our commission. But note also, brothers and sisters, we're commissioned and then told to wait. So that we don't undertake our mission under our own power. We can do nothing. Nothing. Unless the Holy Spirit comes upon us. The Lord must make us, his disciples, into a spirit-filled and in spirit-empowered church before we are sent to make this world into a church. This world was made to be a temple of holy worship for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Every square inch of this cosmos is destined to be sacramental. A living, breathing sign of grace, a physical doxology. The creation is destined to become a church so that Christ, who is love incarnate, who is the fullness of all things, that he fills all in all with his glory. Before he ascended to heaven, Jesus prepared us for this. He prepared his disciples, the fathers of the church, to continue his kingdom mission when he departed. This is what we heard in the Gospel of John two Sundays ago. Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do." And then he went further, saying, "And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father." Glory to Jesus Christ, who has made room for us, sinners of his own redeeming, to continue his work while he reigns in his ascension. Glory to Jesus Christ. So let us redeem the time, the very days, the very hours, the very tasks of our lives. Ordinary though they be, let us make the ordinary holy. Let the ordinary ascend. Let us see the ascension of the ordinary for the glory of Jesus Christ, so that we see every day as a day of significance. Every day is a day inhabiting a holy temple destined for God's return. And we see every day as an opportunity to bear witness that what we do here matters, because Christ, who is ascended and reigning, will return. Jesus Christ will come again to this world in power and in glory. And when he does, he will rid his good world of all evil, all idols, all enemies, once and for all. And then heaven and earth will be one. And there He will reign with His saints in His new and His complete new creation. And all for the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.